You're listening to The Christian Book Show. Real authors, real discussions, real issues. Books are about ideas. As believers, our ideas ought to be better. Our stories more compelling. We're here to spread ideas that lead to life. Our Savior made the religious establishment nervous and gave hope to the common people. We're here to do the same. Christian authors, leaders, and influencers share their message. Let's talk to the author. Hi, folks. Welcome to this edition of the Christian Book Show. I've got Trudy Colflesh with me on this podcast, and her new book is actually the ninth in a series, and this book is called Deliverance for the Wounded Soul, an emotional voice regarding denial, guilt, shame, lost identity, lost time, reputation, dissociation, programming, comfort, safety, and original self. And that's a lot, but the content of the book covers so much of this, and I'll read you a little bit like I always do off the back of the book. I'll tell you a little bit about Trudy, and then we'll begin our conversation. This is from the back of the book. Help me. Help me, my soul cries out. Does anyone hear? Does anyone care? Yes, speaks a sure voice from above. I hear you. I am with you. You are not alone. The poems in this book cry the pain of our heart. As you read, you'll find your own voice in them. In response, you'll hear the comforting help and wisdom of a God who cares. And this book is a book of poems, a book of responses. It's a very, it's like listening in on a conversation, and then that conversation can begin to become yours. Let me tell you a little bit about Trudy, and then we'll meet Trudy. Trudy Colflesh is a Christian professional counselor with over 25 years in the healing ministry. Listening to the wounded souls of her clients, as well as her own journey over the years, has given Trudy a unique expression of feelings coming from the depths of the human soul. She includes thoughts to journal and writes the comforting voice of a God who cares and leads us into hope and healing. Trudy, welcome to the Christian Book Show.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's a delight to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about you, your practice, what you do, that I missed in that very short bio, and then we'll talk about the book.
Well, after my kids were grown and off to school, I said, I would like to do something different. So after having been a stay-at-home mom, so I went to grad school and got my master's in counseling. And part of going to the program of counseling, we were supposed to go for our own therapy. So that began the story of my Soul Cry books. And today we're launching book 9. But years ago, even when I was in grad school and going to counseling, I realized I had no real connection with what I was feeling. And I was realizing that so many people in maybe my generation, a little bit older, but even today, are just not tuned in to how a person feels, how they feel. And I remember growing up, even I kept hearing, you shouldn't feel that way. And, well, be happy. There's no need to be upset or mad. And so that was the beginning of this whole series of books I've written. And I've really enjoyed the journey.
Your books, Trudy, they're not do-it-yourself psychology books. They're not what you'd think of something coming from Dr. Dobson. These are books where we get a look into a life and into a conversation with the individual and with God. And you've taken the format of poetry. Tell us about the poems and tell us about that interaction and how that may tend to be more powerful to reach a person than just a how-to book that says, hey, this is how you should feel and you know, this is the psychology or this is the treatment we want to do for this. How does the format that you've chosen change the way the book is received?
Well, it just sort of happened. I started listening to how I felt, and I thought, well, let me give my feelings a voice. And it's really the difference between the right brain lobe and the left brain lobe. globe and most of our culture, Western civilization, is left brain, analytical, and thinking, whereas the right brain is the more creative and pictorial and with feeling. So my poetry comes from the right brain. It's from the depth of the emotion of the feeling. And not just, I haven't written just about my own journey, but about the many clients that I've worked with and all the suffering and pain that I hear in the feelings. And one of the ways to heal is to identify what we feel. So, yeah, I think it's sort of unique. It's soul cry is the soul, our soul crying out to God. And the scripture tells us that when we cry out to him, he hears and answers. So it's very reassuring. It's giving ourselves, the reader, myself, permission to feel, to tell God what it's like, and to hear what he wants us to know about it. It brings healing.
That's something I like so much about the book, is that it's not just the soul crying out, it's God answering, and you include that in the book. Another thing you include in the book is a place for the reader to journal, for the reader to express their own feelings. And I think that kind of completes that lesson giving that the book has. This book deals with a lot of heavy subject matter. Can you start us out with a poem to give the readers an idea of what they can expect inside the book, and then maybe explain the poem a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, just bouncing off getting to know what we feel, it can lead into the fact that there's some feelings that we have no understanding as to why we feel them. And so the book does go into a deeper revelation, I guess you could say, of memories and feelings that have even been lost. So I did write, one of the poems I wrote about was in discovering that maybe there's some feelings I didn't even know I had because of early childhood trauma. I wrote Adrift on a Sea of Sorrow, because it's very painful to do this healing work, but it's the pain has to come out in order for the healing to come in. So if it's okay with you, then I will read this one. It's called Adrift on a Sea of Sorrow. I was just a young girl, accessed for deeds of hell. No one ever asked me. I could never tell. The memory went deep inside from my own recall I had to hide. Years later, the memory was uncovered as I discovered the ritual of that terrible night. Tears surfaced in a flood of shame as I remembered my dissociative emotions with its pain. I felt the pain as the emotions thawed. I reasoned the awful belief that I was bad. Worse, as being bad was sad. I was not as I should. I let everyone down who thought I was good. Even Jesus must be ashamed of me. Now he knows what I've done. I'm adrift on a sea of sorrow with no hope in the sinking sun.
There's a element that we want to talk about called dissociation. And this poem mentions that. And this poem starts to delve into that. It's not just, you know, I wonder why, my feelings are this way. This is almost the discovering of a new place and new feelings. Can you elaborate on that poem a little bit and what caused that dissociation in the first place?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. It is elaborating on something that even the individual may not realize until it begins to surface. But dissociation is really a God-given gift that the brain has the capacity to split off memories and feelings if there is severe trauma in a child's life. And because the child is still forming his or her personality up until the age 6 or even 7, the brain deals with intolerable conflicts that the child can't understand, and it deals with it by just separating it into a separate part of the brain. So it's not even in conscious memory anymore. And an example of that would be if a child was sadly, regrettably being abused by her dad the night before, she has to get up in the morning. She sees him. She sees him at breakfast. She has to go to school, take her test, do her homework. And it's an intolerable conflict. The intolerability of it is, Daddy is supposed to love me, and Daddy does things I hate. The two cannot connect in a child's brain. And in God's mercy, the terrible memory is lost. So that's usually more in adulthood, there's an awareness that this happened to, you know, if you had traumas in your childhood, that very possibly that could have created some dissociation. So the poem I wrote is about a person who realizes, oh my goodness, I'm not the good little girl I thought I was. I was made to do things I would never have chosen to do. And then the sorrow that maybe she's even disappointed the Lord because she just wanted to be a good little girl. So there's a lot of sadness in coming into realization of what the child may not have known was really happening till much later.
In your counseling, Trudy, do you see instances of where that person feels like if something's happened to them in the past that God has rejected them, or they have done something so far from their concept of what a loving God would approve of that they're no longer qualified for God's love? Do you experience that in your counseling?
That can be, sadly, that can be one of the results of dissociation. But what I help my clients to realize is that they were victimized. It's really a victimization if they are taken to rituals or even you know, just in their own home, maybe sexually abused by a relative, or they didn't cause it. And I work with them to help them see that Jesus was there. And I say, well, look into his face, and what do you see? And inevitably they will see his sorrow over what is happening. And they realize he's identifying with them. And he is there to heal them, not to judge in any way. It's a very freeing experience to be in touch with the memories that have been lost and hidden, so that life can be more whole.
I think one of the things I appreciate about your book is that it's not just the soul cry. It's not just the person crying out. Or it's not just the person left to deal with reconciling their past or their own feelings. It's a response. God gives a response to the soul cry in your book. And I think that's something that we cannot get from secular psychology, from other, you know, other of the world's other answers to this issue, psychologically or medically. And it's something that you give in your book where, when our soul cries out, there really is someone to answer. And to me, that's the hope that's offered when the soul cries out.
Yeah, I could read a response to one of those cries if you'd like.
Yeah, please. I'd like to hear some more from the book.
Yeah, the soul cry part of it is, I call it the horror of discovery. And it's where the child had been taken to a ritual where she was forced to deny that Jesus was God. And because it was a Luciferian sort of thing where they were attempting to make the child believe that Lucifer was God and not God was God. It's a very strange form of religious practice. But so the child is threatened and condemned and yelled at and scared and so forth until the child finally admits, yeah, okay, I believe that, or I don't believe Jesus is God. So then in that memory, there was such sorrow in hearing the denial of Jesus. And the child was probably six or seven, because she had received Christ as her Lord and Savior in Vacation Bible School. So anyway, as I was writing this, it's a very painful cry of the soul. But then the Lord gave me this as a response. I call it, it's their guilt, not yours. So I will read that now. And so Jesus is speaking in the first person to the child. It's not your denial, my little one, that pained my heart, Jesus said. What caused me grief was evil men viciously manipulating your mind and crushing your tender faith to death. I hold you innocent. You are just a child. The guilt is wholly theirs. Their despicable intent was to program your mind to deny true truth and believe that you could be as God. You were told that you could decide what makes sense to you and claim your thoughts to be truly true. Let me hold you, little one, as you sob your sorrow. I understand you had no defense. You didn't know at that time, but I was there covering you. I held you in the light of my presence in their terrifying, dark, fake hell. Yes, you once spoke words of denial of me. I forgive you for those words. I forgive you for believing you were too weak to stay strong, believing it was your fault, your guilt, your doing. I hold you innocent. Give me the sorrow, the shame, the false guilt you feel. Let nothing stand between us. You are mine forever. No false God can ever have you. I am the one who rescues you. I am the true God who saves you from the true hell. And I know, my little one, when you're grown, if you are ever forced to deny me or die, I know what you will do. You will choose me, and I will welcome you home into my arms forever. It just touches my heart every time I read it. It's the Lord's presence and his love is so gracious. He just really cares about the children who have been so abused.
The cover of this book has a cross, and you can see where the blood has flowed down the cross onto the hillside. And superimposed on that is a heavy, heavy chain, and the chain has just been shattered. And that is what Jesus has done for us, is he's taken those chains that are too heavy to bear and too heavy to break, and just that act has shattered those. And that's the hope. That's the hope of Jesus' response that you give in the book. I want to wrap up by giving some practical signposts or pointers to the listeners. But first, I want to wrap up with a kind of a poem of I would think it would be a poem of victory, claimed by God. Is that, to me, that kind of creates the answer for this person that's crying out in this book?
Yeah, the Lord has come to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted. And there is a desperate need in our society for wounded adults to be able to go back to the place of woundedness with the Lord, for him to comfort them and heal them and they can ask forgiveness and he can give forgiveness. And, you know, it's just a repairing of our very being. And the Lord desires truth in our inmost being. And if we are not in touch with our feelings or our memories, then we can't bring them to healing. And in a way, we are not walking in truth. But the good news is that God is not ever going to give up on us. And I love this word that the Lord just gave me as the way I write these poems is I just spend time with Him and I let the soul cry out and then the Lord comforts. So this one I call it Claimed by God. So Claimed by God, what a blessing. Curses undone, rolled back, destroyed. Life redeemed, set free. God is greater than any work of Satan. The evil one only operates under the power he stole in the temporal plane. God rules from eternity to eternity, over all dimensions of time and space. It is an accomplished fact that Satan has been judged, found guilty, and defeated. The power he held to deceive the hearts of people has been and will be removed. Satan is our enemy. Jesus is our friend. Let your soul cry out to the friend who loves you. He will hear and answer. He will rescue you from evil. He is the only way to freedom, healing, and wholeness. Jesus has opened the door. Cry out for your Redeemer. Say yes to your rightful inheritance, for you are wanted and claimed by God.
What do you suggest? What do you recommend? What's a starting place for people that have these unresolved feelings, emotions, and they think, you know, something in their past could be making this bubble up? What's the first step they should take, or a good first place to go for some kind of help?
Well, I reassure my clients and myself, we don't need to be afraid of this. It's part of our history, and if we can find it, we can have the Lord work with us to heal it. And God does turn what the enemy has intended for evil. God uses it for good. And there's always something good that God can redeem. So not to be afraid of looking at, well, gee, what did happen to me? I don't have any remembrance of my first couple, 5 years of life. And I'm sort of afraid to look at it, but don't be afraid. You're an adult now. It would be helpful to work on this with a trusted friend, pastor, counselor, who understands dissociation. And it's so precious because Jesus enters into that very place of trauma and comforts your soul and brings healing and helps you forgive and releases the heavy burden, and life is sweeter. It's a beautiful thing to go into healing and recovery. God desires that in us, for us.
Soul Cry, Deliverance for the Wounded Soul is the book we're talking about today, but it is book 9 in the series, the Soul Cry series. And I would recommend to listeners, if this podcast has touched you, if you wanted to learn more about this, get the Deliverance for the Wounded Soul book. It's available on Amazon. It's available in bookstores. You just have to ask for it. It's available on our website. It's available in the show notes here. It's available from True to Yourself. But get that. And then what I would request or I would encourage you to do is look backward through those other 8 books in the series. So many times as a publisher, I see that a book, a second book, or a third book, or a fourth book interests a reader, and then they have that journey of discovering the previous books. So it's not always going in a forward motion. They go back and discover the previous books in the series. That's something I'd recommend as far as this book is concerned. Trudy, where do people find you if they want to know about more about the Soul Cry series, more about what you do, more about your practice in Colorado Springs? How do they find you on the internet?
My web address is www.soulcry.com. encouraginghope.com/soulcry. That would be a place to find me.
Okay, perfect. And we'll have all that in the show notes and links to the book in the show notes as well. Trudy, thank you so much for sharing this book with the listeners and sharing your message with the listeners. I appreciate it so much, and I look forward to hearing a response from the listeners and readers for Deliverance for the Wounded Soul.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for this opportunity. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Christian Book Show. To learn more about the author and the book featured in this interview, visit christianbookshow.com. No spaces, no dashes. That's christianbookshow.com for show notes on this interview. And be sure to subscribe so you won't miss the next interview.